It's a zechus and a pleasure to join you today in this week's Parsha, Parshas Noach, for me to have the opportunity to address you every single week in the different themes of the Parsha is a real opportunity for me. And we know that all of these Parshas, Bereishis, Noach, Lech Lecha, they're all jam-packed. And we have a lot of different ideas that I hope to grow with you in our own personal lives, in Klal Yisrael as a whole. So let's begin. As we always do, we always ask a couple questions, different questions of the Parsha, and then we try to come out with different yesodos, different foundations, different ideas that we could bring into our life. In last week's Parsha, the end of Parsha's Bereishis, we know that the Torah tells us that Hashem is starting to doubt, maybe Emchet Adam, it says at the end of Perek Vav, Pasuk Zayin, maybe I should dissolve man, Asher Barasi, that I created. And then the Torah tells us, V'Noach Matzachin B'nei Hashem. And Noach found favor in the eyes of Hashem. And the obvious question is, what did Noach do? How did Noach find favor? So there was the Medrash. The Medrash says that when Noach came out, he came out with a bris milah. So we knew that something was special about him. But there's another Medrash. The Medrash says, you know how Noach found favor B'nei Hashem? Is that Noach was different than everyone before him. Noach came out with digits. Noach came out with fingers. And the question number one that we're going to propose is, what does it have to do with anything? If someone comes out with fingers, why does that find chen b'nei Hashem? We know that the Torah begins in Parshas Noach, in this week's Parsha, the famous Rashi, which we all know, quoting back from the Medrash. It says, Ela told us Noach, found in Perek Vav, Pasuk Tes, Ela told us Noach, Noach ish sadik tamim haya bedorasov es elokim hisalech Noach. Noach was a very, very righteous man. He was perfect in his generation. And Noach walked with the Ribbono Shalom. Rashi, in this Medrash, contrasts Noach with Avram Avinu. As it says bedorasov, what does Rashi say? We all know the famous Medrash. When we say that Noach was a tzaddik, haya bedorasov, a tamim, he was perfect. Rashi quotes the Medrash. Yesh me rabo seinu, there are those of the great rabbis that say, Dorshino sola shevach. It's a praise to him. Because Noach, who lived in such a crazy generation, such a crazy world, he was a tzaddik. But if he would be in a generation of tzaddikim, then he would even be a greater tzaddik. And then Rashi says, and there are those that say, Yeyesh Dorshin Oso. It doesn't say Yesh Merabah Seinu, interesting, but it says Veyesh Dorshin Oso. And there are those who expound, Liganai, that really it wasn't good for Noach. Why? Because Noach, if he was in a Dor of Avram Avinu, he would not be considered anything. And then the next Rashi says, Es Elokim Yisalech Noach. Noach walked with God, says Rashi, but by Avram it says, Hisalech Lifanai, walk before me. So Noach needed support, says Rashi. Noach hayatzarech sa'ad. But Avram Avinu was mischazek umahalech besitko. So Rashi clearly is contrasting Noach with Avraham. What's going on here? Right? We know the reason why Rashi is focusing so much on this because it says bedorasov. If Noach was a complete tzaddik, it shouldn't say in his generation. But what's the contrast? What's the difference between a Noach and in Avram Avinu? Was there a difference? Question number two. Question number three. We know, if we look in these parshas of Bereishis and Noach, we see that there's a lot of craziness that goes on, that's going on with all these people in the world. We're introduced, Adam and Chava, the potential they had, and then they messed up with Eitz Hadas. And then Cain and Hevel, which is a whole story in itself. We didn't talk so much about it last week, but the whole story of Cain and Hevel, that basically Hevel would bring the first korban, the first sacrifice to the world, to Hashem. And what happened? Cain got jealous. So we know that there was, with Cain and Hevel, there was a lot going on. And Hevel brought that korban, as we just said. And Cain was jealous in a way, and what did he do? He killed Hevel. The sibling rivalry going on here. And he killed him. Hopefully no one's going to kill anyone here, Chas Shalom. But he killed him. And I heard a great Musar. I heard a great Musar point. A little hard Musar point. If you want to take it, great. You don't want to take it, take whatever you want in life. You know what I'm saying? But I heard a great point. The obvious question everyone's asking is, why didn't Kayin just bring a great carbon? Hevel brought a great carbon, and Kayin didn't bring a great carbon. So why couldn't Kayin just go and bring a great carbon? So I heard a great Musar point. It's not just a side point, not really connected to the questions. But we know that the Gemara tells us in Tainus and Brachos that we don't have carbonus nowadays. So since we don't have carbonus nowadays, what do? We daven. And our tefillahs, the Gemara Megillah says that our tefillahs are like a carbon to Hashem. So if carbonus are like tefillah, if the sacrifice is like davening, how come, I heard a great Musar, you know, it hit me a little. How come when we're in the davening, we don't put our best foot forward? Like, we have complaints and tainas on Kayin. Why don't we realize that also? We have opportunity to talk to Hashem. We have the opportunity to be close to Hashem. So why are we not offering the best carbon? Okay, good Musar point. But nevertheless, we see that different things. Kayin and Hevel, crazy story. Then we come to this week's parts of Noach with the Dor HaMabul. The Torah says that they're involved in Hamas. They're stealing. They're involved in adultery. A lot of crazy things. What's going on there? And then we come to the end of the parsha, the Dor HaFlogah. They decided that they were going to go against Hashem. They were going to raise a tower, and they were, right, I'm going to hear about this tower thing, right? But they were going to raise a tower, and then they're going to go and raise themselves up to Hashem. What's the theme? What's going on with all these problems? And then all of a sudden, next week's parsha, we are introduced to Avraham Avinu. We are introduced to Lech Lecha, the idea of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. How does that fix things up? So all these sins, what's the theme? What's going on here? And how do our avos fix them up? Question 3. A lot of questions. Okay. Question 4. We know the Teva. The Teva was a major Teva. The Torah tells us that the Teva found in Perek Vav, Pasuk Tes Vav, it says that usually Hashem says to Noach, make a Teva, and Shalosh Meot Amo, it should be 300 cubits the length of the Ark, Chamishim Amo Rachba, 50 Amos the width, Ushloshim Amo Komasa, and 30 Amos its height. So those are pretty big. Ask the Heliger Ramban, the Ramban right over here. Ask the Ramban, Nachmanides, the great Rishon. Ask the Ramban, I don't get it. Think about it. All the animals. Again, it wasn't all of them, but kosher ones, 7 by 7 groups of animals, 2 groups of impure. That's where Rashi learns out that Noach learned Torah. He knew what was pure and what was impure. Amazing. But if you think about it, imagine taking the Bronx Zoo, taking the Biblical Zoo, taking all these different zoos, yeah, there are some zoos, some big zoos, and putting it in a little boat, you know, there's some big animals out there, giraffes and elephants, you got it all into that boat. Ask the Ramban if it was a miracle, which seemingly it was, then why don't you say that Noah went in like a little boat and got it all in? Why do you have to say that he went in a boat of 300 amos by 50 amos, right? But what's going on? Was it a miracle or is it not a miracle? Ask the Ramban. Question 4. Question 5. Question 5. We know at the end of the Torah, the end of this week's parasha, we know that it's going through the whole lineage. And, right, we're being introduced to Avraham Avinu, the son of Terach. And then the Torah says, in Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Chav Zayin, Ve'ela told us Terach, these are the offspring of Terach, Terach holid at Avraham, and Nachor ve'Taran, Haran, the Haran holy. And look, right? Avram, Nachor, and Haran. Those are the children of Terach. And then, what does it say? Pasuk Chavches, Vayamat Haran al Pnei Terach. Haran died, Aviv, Be'eretz Meladeso, Be'or Kastim. Very, very, very strange Pasuk. The way the Pasuk is written, Vayamat Haran al Pnei Terach Aviv. And Haran died in the presence of Terach, his father. What is going on here? So Rashi brings down the Medrash. The Medrash says, one idea is, it's a Medrash Tanchuma, that one idea is that he died in the lifetime of his father. which was not so normal. Normally, you know, normally kids die after their fathers. So that was strange. And then Rashi brings the famous Medrash, which we know what happened. Medrash HaGadol. The Medrash HaGadol is found in Brachos Rabbah, found Lamed Ches Yud Gimel. It tells a story. Terach said to Avram, "Hey, Abraham, my son, what's going on? You must have destroyed," right? Avram was watching all the idols. And then he destroyed all the idols. He broke them all. Nimrod, right? Terach came back his father and said, "Hey, what's going on?" So he said, "You never guess what happened. One of the gods, went and killed all of them." So Terach obviously knew that wasn't true. Terach said, what are you saying, son? Let's go in front of Nimrod. Nimrod was the big person that was going to decide. Nimrod, the Russia, Nimrod. So they brought him to Nimrod and they decided like this. They said, if you're going to go into the Kivshan, you're going to go into the fiery pit, if you come out alive. And Haran, his brother, was sitting there, right? Haran died. So Haran was sitting there. And Terach turned to Haran and said, "Whose side are you on? Are you on my side with all these gods? Or are you on the side of Avram, your brother?" So what happened? Haran said, "Let's wait and see. I want to see what's going to happen." So they decided like this. Nimrod said, "If you put him in a fire and he makes it out of the fire, we know he's right. If what happens, he goes in the fire and he dies, so then I know that you're right. Terach, you're right." So what happened? Avram went into the fire. Medrash, great Medrash. He came out alive. And Haran said, "Oh, listen, I'll go in also. I follow Avram." And what happened? He died. What's this? What's the message of this? What's the story of this Medrash? What's going on here? And seemingly, what's the difference again? So we had a difference. One of the first questions was, what's the difference between Noach and an Avram? And what is the difference between Haran? What's the difference between a Haran and an Avram? So what's going on? Let's discuss. We have a lot of questions. First question is that, what does that mean that Noach had fingers? How did that help us that Noach had fingers? How did that find chen in the world? The second question is, we see that Rashi brings a comparison between Avram and Noach. Were they different? How were they different? What was different about them? The third question is that we know that there's this whole idea of the Teva, which seemed to be a nace. But if it was a nace, why did Hashem make it not such a big nace, asks the Ramban. The fourth question is, what is going on with Haran? And the fifth question is, all these sins, went a little out of order, but all these sins, all these people that are messing up, what happened here, what was the theme, and how did Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov fix it up? So, let's try to get some major yesodos that come out. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says Gevaldik. There are two Mishnahs in Pirkei Avos that I think are going to answer. I didn't even mean to go out of order with the questions, but Hashem runs the world. And now we're going to answer the last question first. Normally, because I'll say you should answer the first question first. But I think with this Yisod, we're going to try to develop Yisodos, and we're going to show the difference between an Avram and a Noach, and what leadership means. The Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, in Perek Dalid, Mishnah Chavches, Rabbi Elazar HaKafar Omer. Rabbi Elazar HaKafar says the following. Hakina v'hataiva v'hakavod motzien et ha'adam min ha'olam. Kina, jealousy, taiva, lust, and v'kavod and glory take a person out of this world. There's a similar type of Mishnah which we see earlier, that says basically in Perek Beis Mishnah Tes Zayin, Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Ayin Ra, V'yetzahara, V'sinas Habrios, Motzin Es Ha'odom Min Ha'ilum. An evil eye, an evil inclination, and hatred of other people remove a person from this world. I heard a beautiful idea. You know what the problems were? With the Kain and Hevel, and then the Dor HaMabel, and then the Dor HaFloga, where they went against Hashem,
these three things: Kina, Taiva, and Kavod. Kina. Kina represents jealousy. Kina represents the idea that a person is jealous of his friend. He thinks that what my friend has, I should have. And he's jealous. The Gemara does say in Baba Basra and Daf Kof Gimel that Kina soy from Tarva Chachma. If I see my friend and he's shtagging, and he's growing in Torah, and he's growing in his midos, oh, wow, I see that guy, I could be better than that guy. If you're not jealous of the guy, but you see the idea that he's doing, that's okay. That's okay, Kina. But normal Kina, says the Mishnah, is motzi es adam min ha'olam. If a person is jealous, if a person thinks, wow, I wish I had that, why didn't Hashem give that to me? That's a very bad midah. V'hataiva. V'hataiva. And lust, going after your desires, also is motzi a person from the olam. And kavod. If a person is just trying to seek kavod, he's just trying to get everyone's approval. He's not working on himself, but he wants everyone else's approval, which is so important, and that's also motzi min ha'olam. What does this have to do with the generation, with these generations? Cain and Hevel. What was the sin of Cain and Hevel? Cain was jealous of Hevel. Since Cain was jealous of Hevel, he had to kill Hevel. What was the sin of the Dor HaMabul? Says Rashi in the Medrash that they were involved in Taiva. They couldn't control their lust. The animals were involved in Taiva. Rashi brings down from the Medrash that the animals were having relations with each other. Crazy. And they were stealing from each other. They couldn't control themselves. And Kavod, the idea of the Dor HaFluga, that all they wanted was kavod. They wanted the glamour. They wanted to go against Hashem because they wanted to say, I'm important and Hashem is not important. I'm greater than Hashem. There is an element of kavod. And these three midas, a person needs to work on them. They're hard. They're hard midas. We all have the eight Saharas. We all have things that you know, we see things that we shouldn't be seeing. We all have things that we have to work on. And we all get jealous sometimes. We're all normal people. We get jealous. We see that. Right? A person only gets jealous of when he sees someone that he thinks that he could be better than that person. Right? People live their whole lives being jealous. They make their houses bigger and they have nicer cars just to keep up with their neighbors. It's a problem. Because someone will always have more than you. That's just the way life is. Someone will always have more than you. So that jealousy will take you out of this world. And kavod, some people, all they need is respect. And again, you have to give respect to one another, of course. But all they need is kavod. They need to be the man. All of these things are motzi a person from this world. And that represents these different generations. Comes in Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. As we know that the world stands on three things, the famous Mishnah in Perek Avos in the first Perek. Why, what are the three things? Al Torah, Avodah, and Gemilas Chasadim. So I asked my shir earlier this week, let's try to be, you know, interesting, let's try to be unique, let's try to figure out how these three things, Kina, Taiva, and Kavod, is fixed up by Torah, Avodah and Gemilas Chasadim. Very interesting answers. But basically, again, we can use our own brains and we can think what we think. But Torah. How does Torah? Torah fixes up the Yetzirah. Because Torah represents the godly pursuit of Torah. And the Torah said, the Gemara says in Kedushin, Barasi Yetzirah, Barasi Torah Tavlin. I created Yetzirah and I created the Torah to help the anecdote, to fix that up. Why? Because when a person gives into his taiva, he's giving into his animal features. And since he's giving into his animal features, he's lessening himself. But Torah is giving into his godly features. Is giving into the Ribbono Shel Olam, learning Hashem's Torah. What about Avodah? Avodah. Gemilas Chasadim. Right? Avodah is hard work. So they said, listen, it could be anything. Avodah could be compared with Kina. It's very hard to not be jealous. You see someone that's very similar to you. How come he made it and I didn't make it? It's very hard. It's a lot of hard. It's a hard work. And gemilas chasadim, to be kind. That's against kavod. Why? Because kavod represents it's all about me. I need the kavod. Gemilas chasad is getting out of yourself. Again, you can be creative. You can have different ideas here, but the avos fix up the problems of kina, taiva, v'akavod. What happened with Noach? What's the difference between a Noach? What's the difference between a Noach and an Avraham? Where do we see the difference in the leadership? What exactly happens? And furthermore, how are we going to answer up the kasha of the Ramban? Where the Ramban said, is this a miracle or is this not a miracle? What is going on with the table? So let's go slow. The Medrash says that Noach had fingers. Fingers was the thing that brought favor to the world. How does that fix up things? Because think about it. If you're working the land and your hand is like a mitten, is like a glove, so you can't really do it. It's hard to work the field. How are you going to work the field when your hand, you don't have fingers? But basically, Hashem gave Noach fingers. Once you have fingers, then you're able to do more things. You're able to work the land. It's much easier. So therefore, there would be more time for Noach. There would be he was the first one to have fingers. He'd be in a generation where there is more time. And therefore, you have the ability to do more things. You could do so much more things in a shorter amount of time. Do you know about 150 years ago, there were just outhouses. You had to go like a far place to go to the bathroom. 100 years ago, 150 years ago, I mean, I'm making up the numbers, but not so long ago, in order for you to do your laundry, you had to go to the river. Things are so much easier nowadays. We have technology that's awesome. In the split of a second, my internet goes down for like 10 seconds. You know, you want to cancel your internet, you got to find a new provider. Because things are so fast, and that's beautiful, and that's amazing, and we speak about this all the time. But it's also a problem. You know why? Because when you have a lot of time on your hands, if you're using your time wisely, then it's great. But if you're not using your time wisely, then it's not great. Says the Medrash, Noach Matzachin, Noach found favor. Why? Because now there's going to be more time to improve the world. There's going to be greater things. But there's also everything in life. There's a double-edged sword. So now that there's more time to do things, there's also more time to be involved in bad things. And that's what happened in the generation of Noah. As we just said, they were involved in taiva because they had free time. They weren't working as hard as they could, and they had free time. And since they had free time, they got involved in immoral things. And their time became not so important. Not only that the animals started getting involved. The Beis HaLevi, the great Beis HaLevi says that our actions do a lot of things. We think our actions definitely affect ourselves. They affect the people around us, they affect our families, they affect our friends, they affect our future families, our actions affect our future grandchildren and great-grandchildren. Everything we do now is going to have an effect. Says the Beis HaLevi, not only that, but your actions, hopefully good actions, are going to have effect in the whole world. How do we know that? Because the animals also got affected. How did the animals get affected? What is it? If I do something good or bad, how does that do? Because our actions change worlds. Our actions do things, says the Beis HaLevi. That's what happened with the door of Noah. Even the animals went crazy. Why? Because their actions of the people affected them. Look what a big responsibility that we have. The achrayus, the responsibility that we have. So what's the difference between a Noah and an Avram? What's the difference? Noach definitely was a righteous person, and he was a good person. However, when you read the Parsha further, you see, and again, he lived through a lot. He didn't really affect anyone. He kept on trying to tell people there's going to be a Mabul, and no one really listened to him. They thought he was a crazy man building a boat. So he didn't really have an effect on so many people. And when he got out of the teva, he planted a vineyard. And he planted a vineyard, and he got drunk. We have a person that was a tzaddik. We have a person that was a tamim. And then something went awry. Something went off. How did that happen? How did that happen to Noah? How did something go off? Because Noah, his leadership was messed up from the beginning. Noah, we know that Rashi brings down, the Torah says, that Noah went into the table. But in Perek Zion, Pasuk Zion, the Torah says a very, very, very fascinating language. Zion, what does it say? It says, V'yavo Noach u'banav yishto, u'neshei banav yito, el ha-teva, mipnei mei ha-mabul. So what does it say? V'yavo Noach u'banav, el ha-teva, mipnei ha-mabul. Says Rashi, that he went into the ark because of the waters of the flood. Says Rashi, famous Rashi. A lot of famous Rashi's in this parsha. Again, if they're not famous, let's make them famous. Fine, if we know it, then they're famous. Okay. Mibnei Amabu, says Rashi, Af Noach, Miketane Amonahaya. He was one with little faith. Mamin, he believed. Ve'ein Amamin, yet he didn't believe. Until Sheavo Hamabu, Velo Nichnas Lateva. Noach didn't go into the Teva until the water started going. Noach was a miktani emono. He didn't really fully believe. He didn't believe. He needed to be pushed into the teva by what? By the rain coming down. But we just said that Noach was a tzaddik tamim hayabedor asav. This seems to be a proof that he wasn't so great. Again, he might have been great, but not so great. Where was Noach lacking? You know where Noach was lacking? I think this is, again, there could be a lot of different pshatim here, but I think one of the major yisodis that a lot of people talk about is that the difference between an Avraham and a Noach is that Avraham had a mission. And he had a mission. And nothing would stop him from his mission. He had a mission, he realized, whatever age, Machlokas, we've shown him how old he was, whatever it was. He had a mission that he was going to show the world that there's a Ribono Shel, there's a God in this world. That was his mission. He was going to show through his chesed and through his amazing acts that Hashem is part of this world. Hashem runs the world. And he's going to show the whole world that Hashem is with us. Noach was not such a leader. Noach had good ideas, and Hashem spoke to him, but he needed to be pushed along. You know what a leader is? A leader is not a person that sits on the sidelines waiting for something to happen. A leader is someone that decides. He sees a problem. He sees something he could fix. He sees something that he could do in this world. And he goes for it. He doesn't stop until it's done. A leader is someone that doesn't take no for an answer. And not always things work out. Hashem runs the world. But if you look at all the great leaders, if you look at all the people that are successful, however you're viewing success, they didn't stop until it happened. We could give you so many examples, and we have examples in our brains. Just didn't stop until like the job got done. Noach had to wait. He had to be pushed along. He didn't have that emunah. He didn't have that belief in Hashem. What about the end of the Torah with Haran? I think Haran also has midah of Noach. Haran represents the idea. I saw that the Rosh Hashiva, Maseret also says a similar idea, Rav Isaacson says a similar idea to this also, that Haran had to be pushed along because he was on the sidelines. He He didn't really have a belief. Oh, was I for Terach or was I for Avram? I don't know. I'll go with the flow. But no, he wasn't so stark with his convictions. He didn't just go for it. A leader is someone that's going to do it. He's going to get the job done. Whatever it costs, he's going to get the job done. That is the difference between a Noach and an Avram. An Avram represents Hashem. He represents the first Jew. Whether he kept the Torah or not, the Gemara says he did. What does that mean? The Torah wasn't given, a whole separate shiur. But Avraham represented Hashem. And we see that in the next week's parasha, the parasha after that, that he would do whatever he can to be Mekadesh Shem Shamayim. Because he lived with this emunah. He lived with this belief in Hashem. Noach was a great person. But when trouble came to his life, he just got drunk, and things spiraled out of control, because he was alone. Avram was never alone, because Avram always had the Ribbono Shel Olam. He had this emunah. Comes along the Ramban. The Ramban says a fascinating thing. We talk about this all the time. But the Ramban says that why did Hashem do this miracle of the Teva? Because Hashem does not want to just do open miracles. Right? The Ramban says one reason why he did a big teva is so the people, the generation, will see what is going on and maybe they'll change their ways. And then the Ramban says no. The reason why he did a teva is to show that Hashem, it's a big boat. It was a big boat. But to have the Bronx Zoo in the boat? Come on! Is that going to happen? But Hashem has to show himself through the Bria, through creation. And he has to kilu hide his face. That's what Emunah is. You know, the Bachman always said, oh, if God spoke to me, then I'd be so from. It's not true. You'd be living with inspiration, but then you go back to your ways. It's like you show a smoker. Someone smokes a lot. You show him what his lungs look like. Oh, whoa, that's crazy. And then he goes right back to his old ways because he doesn't really take it in. But Hashem wants us to take him into our lives through nature. That's what our whole lives are about. That everything that happens to us, Hashem is always talking to us through the things that happen to us. Hashem is talking to us. That's what it's all about. And we need to be strengthened in our emunah. We need to be strengthened in our belief for Hashem. We have to love him. The Stipler writes, the great Stipler Gaon from Bnei Brak. So he writes that Noach was lacking in the emunah. Why was he lacking the emunah? Because there's two types of emunah. There is an intellectual emunah, knowing that there's Hashem, as the Rambam writes, Leda is Hashem. And then there's another element of emunah, emotional emunah, really believing that he's really part of my life, even through the common things that happen. How many of us, we get bread, we go to the supermarket and we get bread. How many of us would say, wow, that's a nace? But the mud is definitely a nace. Coming from Shemayim, having exactly what you need, that's definitely a nace. What bracha do we make on the mon? Hamotzi lachem min hashamayim, says the Chida. Rav Chaim Yosef Dovid Azuloy, who was a Kohen. One of the great, great, great people from Svat. The Chida. Hamotzi lachem min hashamayim. What do we say? Hamotzi, what do we make? Hopefully. Hamotzi lachem min haaretz. Hashem, through the teva, through the process of going through and planting and doing the whole thing, and then you get your wheat and your bread. But Hashem has to, a person could say, oh, that's just natural, that just happens. That doesn't just happen. Hashem is making it happen, says the Ramban. Noach was Miktani Amunah. That's also, he didn't have his conviction because he didn't fully believe. He believed a little, but not fully. He wasn't a leader. He didn't do it at all costs. You know, they tell a great story. I heard the story a couple of times. The Great Blondini. I don't know if anyone heard this story. Great story. You'll remember it. If you hear it, you definitely, if you've seen it before, you definitely will remember it. The Great Blondini. Who was the Great Blondini? He was Charles Blondin, who lived from the year 1824 to 1897. He was the famous tightrope person. He would take tightropes and he would do amazing, amazing things. And walked through tightropes. The famous, well, again, he did a lot of famous things. On June 30th, 1859, he was going to cross Niagara Falls, 1,100 feet up. a lot of feet up, and he was going to cross it on a tightrope. And people thought he was crazy. And guess what? He did it. He only had a couple of people watching him. They thought he was a Meshuggah man. And he did it. He said, come back in a couple of weeks. I'm going to do you a better trick. You know what trick he did? He said, I'm going to go on the tightrope on Niagara Falls again. All right, bring his passport, you know, America, Canada. And I'm going to do it with my eyes closed. And the people thought he was crazy. And he did it. He said, come back in a couple of weeks. I'll do another trick. He went and he took a wheelbarrow and he said, who's the great Blondini? Look at me. And he had thousands of people watching him, cheering him on. Who's the great Blondini? And people were cheering him, giving him what he wanted. And he was able to take a wheelbarrow with one foot, go across Niagara Falls. He said, I'm going to do a greater trick. Come back in 2 weeks. And he said, you know the trick I'm going to do now? I'm going to go across this tightrope with my eyes closed with my wheelbarrow. And I'm going to put someone in it. And he said, I need to hear. Who's the great Blondini? Who's the great Blondini? And everyone, hundreds of thousands of people are involved in watching this. And he said, okay, so you believe in me. Who's coming in the wheelbarrow? And no one went in the wheelbarrow. Miktani Emuna. Again, I don't know. I don't think I'd go in the wheelbarrow either. You know, everyone's thinking, I wouldn't go in that. That's crazy. But what's the story? Miktani Emuna. You have the Emuna. You believe, but you don't really believe. I really believe he's going to be able to push me. Oh, let him push someone else so he falls off the thing and he's there. Okay. Not me, but does he have? Noach was Miktani Emuna. He didn't have the belief. He needed to be pushed into the marble. Says the Ramban. The whole purpose is, it's a Ramban L'shitoso and Parshas Bo, which we talk about all the time, that the whole purpose is to bring Hashem into our lives. So again, a lot of different ideas. We go on for a long time. She was going long. I see. But again, major Yisodus. The first Yisod, which we spoke about, is Kinan Taiva Kavod, our motzi, a person from this world. And the Avos take that down, Torah, Avodah, Gemilas, Chasadim. And then we spoke about the difference between a Noach and an Avram through all the Midrashim. Avram was going to do it at all costs. Going to go against his family. Noach had to be pushed in. And by Haran also, he took a back seat. Whatever happens. No, if you want to be a leader, you need to bring the Emuna into your life and just go for it. Hashem has given us all brachas. Let us keep on growing as the Zman started. We're getting back into things. And it's going to be a Zman of growth in all areas. Let us keep on growing. Let us keep on bringing Hashem into our lives. And let us be like an Avraham Avinu.